The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
It's time for the week trending. Michael Clifford, special correspondent of the Irish Examiner, and Laura Byrne from the journal.ie are with us. And of course, this is the week in which Simon Harris became Taoiseach on Tuesday. And then, Laura, did he turn up for work on Wednesday?
Well, he did and he didn't, depending on who you ask. So in case anyone missed it, we've a new Taoiseach as of Tuesday, the TikTok Taoiseach, as he's known. He's very popular on the platform, and he had to go off and meet very important international leaders the next day.
Phone calls at 3:30 when Mary Lou MacDonald wanted him in the Dáil at 2:30.
Well, this is it. So anyone who watches the Oireachtas, you'll know that there's a weekly showdown, the leaders' questions, where it's usually the Taoiseach, and if not the Taoiseach, or somebody will stand in instead. So one or other or any of them should have been at Leaders' Questions on Wednesday, but kind of unusually Leaders' Questions was shifted off the schedule, and that was the curious enough thing, because I suppose someone should always really be there to answer the questions from the opposition. So Mr. Harris wasn't there because he was speaking to Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, and he had another meeting with UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and Northern Ireland First Minister Michelle O'Neill and Emma Little-Pengelly. So clearly very important meetings for him the next day, his first day as Taoiseach, but Sinn Féin not too happy, and making sure that anyone on TikTok realised they weren't happy.
Yeah, what do you make of this, Michael? I mean, is it right on the first day that he goes and makes the phone calls, or even prepares for making the phone calls, rather than going into the Dáil and answering the same questions that his predecessor have been asked and listening to the same points that have been made during his nomination the following day? Or is that just part of the job? You have to turn up and do it?
I think this is blown out of all proportion, Matt. I think, Mary Lou MacDonald made a big deal of the fact that wasted time, etc., and he should have been in there. The obvious thing is, okay, that's fair enough if it's that precious Dáil time. Why didn't you all come back on Easter week? Because we all knew there was going to be a new Taoiseach elected. A couple of days the previous week would have got all this out of the way. You could have been in Brighton early on Tuesday then and begin...
That's not Sinn Féin's fault, in all fairness.
No, it's not. But the point I'm making is that if that was the case, if there had been a suggestion of people coming back Easter week, did a big blow up about that as well. So, I mean, I think it's a bit over the top. He could have rearranged things, but I don't think give the fella the tiniest bit of slack his first day in the job.
It wasn't that he'd had a late night the night before celebrating.
He looks like a man who'd be having a late night. But he's young children, too. You don't know what the story is.
Yeah, I don't think that's his style so far.
I think they did say he was in the office at 10 to 8 in the morning.
That's late enough for the Taoiseach.
Yeah, yeah. You know what happens to getting up early in the morning? Is that the end of that trend?
You're very demanding, the two of you. Do you turn in for work that early, do you?
I'm up at 5:30 in the morning. No, I'm not. I'm with Mick on this, though. There has been a lot of talk about how often the Dáil sits. And, I don't know if anyone feels like we've had so many bank holidays since Christmas that it feels like nobody's in school for a full week and all that kind of thing. But the Leinster House, it hasn't been open that much either. They could do with a few more hours up there in the chamber.
Okay, what about the TikToking from both Simon Harris and Mary Lou MacDonald? Because I think he did put out stuff to sort of mark his first day. And I think her response might have beat him in the ratings, Mick.
Yeah, and the issue that arises there is that, there is security concerns around TikTok, and it has been banned from Westminster. And yet we have the Taoiseach in the Taoiseach's office because it's his favourite mode of social media, using it. And he's leaving himself a bit exposed there, I think, definitely. And he is a big fan.
So a bit of security concerns about the fact that by broadcasting the interior of the Taoiseach's office, or indeed even the cabinet room... But what would the TikTokers see that would be a problem?
I don't necessarily that. I think it's like TikTok's relationship with China.
Yeah, and then, of course, they can get all the information.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, fully enough, you'd be surprised what kind of information you can get from a still photo of a cabinet room or some sort of internal building. I'm not saying there is anything overtly standing out, but there, if let's be honest, plenty of government employees were warned last year to not have TikTok on the government, on their official phones. They were allowed to have it on their private phones. So we have a young Taoiseach now who likes to use TikTok. The head of Sinn Féin is using it. There have to be security. There has to be at least security consciousness there. You have to be very careful about what you're putting out anyway. But yeah, I think, it's not something that we should be sniffing at. However, I think it was People Before Profits, or one of the People Before Profit TDs. It was Rich Boy Barrett, sorry. He was saying that really, if you're using TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, it doesn't really matter. You're giving away your data anyway. And I think when our AI overlords come and take over, it won't matter. We're all in big trouble.
You're saying that tongue in cheek, Laura, are you?
half tongue in cheek.
The only interesting thing from the Taoiseach's office is what portraits are going to hang in there in Simon Harris's time. Because from recollection, Micheál Martin, didn't he have Michael Collins, as well as...
I think you're right.
Pierce inside there.
Yeah, I think that was a gesture, wasn't it?
Kind of a break with the past, or kind of a gesture. No, I don't know Leo had in there, but various Taoiseach, they have their favourite historical figure up there.
Wasn't there talk that Tony Blair is Simon Harris's kind of hero? I don't know if that's a good move either.
Okay.
If you can move on, right? Get him in there, yeah.
I want to play a little bit of audio from the Doyle this week, something entirely separate, where the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Antonish de Micheál Martin, responded to criticism from the independent TD, Michael McNamara, about the cost to the state of looking after the pets of Ukrainian refugees.
Just maybe say, Deputy Chair, that there's a context to all of this. And I always recall when I was leaving Kiev, the train station. There's an exhibition in the train station in Kiev which recalls the horror facing the population of Ukraine at the time. You know, you have desperate photographs of mothers with their children looking out the windows at their husbands, at their in-laws, their grandparents, frightened children. Like, that was the scene. Okay, we all responded in a humanitarian way at the time. No one believed the war would go on for 2 years.
Really?
I didn't believe it would go on for 2 years. Yeah, go. Look, fine, you're an expert.
I'm not an expert.
But I'm going to go back to the essential response we made at the time. Was to be a humane response. And okay, you may know 2.5 years on, instance one aspect of that response and sort of, create a lot of angst about it.
Thank you, Tony.
I just think there was a context at the time in which this country responded. We can be overly negative about ourselves all of the time. I think it was a decent response. Thank you.
So oversight of state funding is only important when Pierce Doherty raises it, is it?
I think it was a decent response that reflected the best of what we are as a people.
Yeah. Because how much is the state, Laura, paying each month to help accommodate the pets of Ukrainian refugees?
Yeah, so this is a bit of talk about this for the last few months. A few months ago, it was revealed that over 800,000 had been spent by the Department of Agriculture on transport and kennelling and veterinary bills for Ukrainian pets. Now, there was a bit of talk about the validity of this and why it had been done. And I suppose people in agreement with it felt that if you're to be compassionate as a state and listening to the Taoiseach there, you know, a pet is part of a family, they're important for children and people are leaving a war zone, it was the right thing to do. Now it's emerged that they were paying up to 1 million a month to accommodate the pets of refugees in hotels and other government funded properties. So there's no question that it's a huge amount of money, and it's one that needs to be looked at. It depends on your take. I, as a pet owner, I couldn't imagine leaving our...
That's what I was just about to say. Yeah. I mean, like, the idea that if you're displaced, that your family is having to move to a different country to escape war, you're leaving behind your home, you're leaving behind all your possessions. Jesus, it would be terrible to have to leave your pet behind as well.
Absolutely, and I think Michael McNamara thinks that, and I think it's way over time, he says, what planet do these people live on? There's absolutely no legal obligation to accommodate animals, and how they end up accommodating animals is beyond me. Exactly the point you made, Matt, and I have a dog too, and a cat, and the idea of having to leave them fleeing. Now, where I would raise questions is the element that suggests people acquired pets since they arrived here and they were accommodated and paid for. I would definitely have an issue over that. The second thing is, it costs up to €20 a night for each of the animals. Now, we've gone away as a family once or twice and put them into kennels. You're talking about €20-25 a night, and that's for the period of a week or 2 weeks, you know, and it's an expensive outlay. But to be doing for how they couldn't have found a more accommodating way, a cheaper way in which to do it, rather than paying what seems to be rates that we'd all pay for a week or two to pay on an ongoing basis for over a year. I'd raise questions about that as well, to be honest.
And I'm not sure, is that 20 a night for dog kennels, or is that if you're a family in a B&B, let's say the B&B is charging you next to 20 a night for the animal? Hard to know from the...
We need to take a break. Stay with us, Laura Byrne and Mick Clifford. More in the wee trending after this. Let's continue with the week trending. And we started yesterday's programme with the breaking news of O.J. Simpson's death. Can you believe, Mick Clifford, the New York Times obituary was headlined, his world was ruined by murder charges. I could think of two people's worlds who were ruined. And while he may not have had the criminal conviction, I think we all know, we could safely say, not just because of the civil outcome, but who else did it?
It was quite amazing, that line that was in the New York Times, and then they took it down. How they put it up there in the first place, I just don't know. You know, I mean, you're talking about savage murder of two people. And, you know, a civil court determined that he did do it. In terms of the criminal case, I think somebody put it well. We're talking about the framing of a guilty man, because the way the investigation occurred, the issues that arose about race, all of those were present. They divided the nation according to a lot of things. However, ultimately, I think the evidence that he was guilty for that horrific murder was pretty stark, was pretty overwhelming one way or the other.
What did you think of it all, Laura? Do you remember that time?
Oh, I absolutely do.
Because there's a lot of people, the younger generations, who know it from the TV show, The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Well, I was just going to say that. So I'm old enough to remember the car chase. This is pre-social media. I think we all watched it on whatever it was we had at the time.
I was in a Sky bar News, in New York, CNN, the night before the Ireland-Italy game.
I was in a barber shop in Ring's End.
I think I was on a J1 in Hyannis now. That's 100 years ago. But I do remember it, and I remember the lads living with me obsessively watching it live and went on. And so that was a huge case in our time. And as you say, anyone under, let's say, 30 has revisited that through really, really well-made programmes on it. And it's just the idea, first of all, that the New York Times could stand over an obituary of a man who was like a huge figure, with like or loathe him, and allow this copy to go in. His world was ruined after he was charged with killing his former wife and his friend. That was like absolutely appalling.
But is this almost like that was, again, the whole thing was so racially charged at the time that it broke down on racial lines as to whether you believed he was guilty or not, and that it became this sort of thing that, oh, look, they're going after the black man because he was married to a white woman, she gets killed, so they're assuming he did it. Well, actually, there was evidence to show he had done it.
And I mean, most of us remember the glove not fitting and all of this kind of stuff. And his legal team were very clever because they were able to capitalise on the atmosphere of race disquiet at the time. And I don't think American race relations have necessarily even improved since then, but there was a lot going on. There was Rodney King, there was police brutality questions, that kind of thing. So they hung it all on the race thing, and they got it over the line. But it was a pretty bad day for American justice.
Okay, look, I'm going to have to finish the week trending. I have lots of other things I'd love to talk to you about. I'm sorry we didn't get to them all. Laura Byrne from thejournal.ie and Michael Clifford, special correspondent with the Irish Examiner.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.